Hey, fellow horror fans. This is Troy Escamilla, the director of Party Night and Mrs. Claus, and you are listening to Anthony P's Horror Show. Enjoy.
Welcome to another edition of Anthony T's Horror Show. I'm Anthony T. In this edition, I will have no guests, so it's me the entire time. Well, I have a lot of things to get off my chest, including my time at Scares That Care Weekend 6, which I'll go into, as I had a very good time in Williamsburg, Virginia. I'll go in detail on my trip all the way down to Williamsburg, Virginia, and all the fun things I did over there. Plus, I will talk about the first wave of announcements for Rockin' Shock, as this year's lineup for Rockin' Shock looks like it's going to be their best convention yet. But first, I'm going to start off with news that I started off with on episode 24 of Anthony T's Horror Show. And yes, I'm talking about Halloween 2 and 3 and Saw 9. Well, after the whole Child's Play saga, I really didn't think I would have another topic that really would take over the show for a while. I was hoping it would be nice, get some news in, and not have someone or a film be a focal point of Anthony T's Horror Show. Well, I was wrong, as it seems like every show now, Jason Blum somehow gets into my news. Whether it's the new Halloween film that I'm going to talk about in a minute, or remaking Black Christmas, or Jason Blum gets a Funko. It seems like he is always one of the main topics in the news portion. I don't get it, really. It's like, I like to do a show where I don't have to talk about Jason Blum, because it seems like he's now starting to be in every show that I'm producing, where you get a news bit. But we got some major news from one of Jason Blum's upcoming films. That is Halloween 2 Part 3 and Halloween 3 Take 2. Thankfully, I will not have to be referring to those films as such, as both Halloween 2 and Halloween 3 have titles, and I have to say, this is a joke. Seriously, this sucks. There is no creativity in any of the two titles. It's like, oh, let's come up with a word and we'll just tack it on. Halloween titles for Halloween 2 and Halloween 3 are Halloween Kills and Halloween End. One of the dumbest ideas for titling a film. I really hope it's a working title, because if it's the title for the two Halloween films, then I don't know what the hell Jason Blum, David Gordon Green, and Danny McBride are smoking. Seriously. And yes, I know David Gordon Green and Danny McBride did a stoner comedy called Pineapple Express in 2008. But really, Halloween Kills and Halloween End are not titles that stand out. It sounds too generic. It's like there was no thought into coming up with simple titles, because these titles are quite frankly a joke. Let's start with Halloween Kills, or I like to refer Halloween Kills, man, because why do you title a film Halloween Kills? It sounds like a teenager titled this film. I can see all the memes coming out of this on Halloween this year, where I guarantee you there'll be a meme saying Halloween Kills, man. I want some seriousness here, and this is not a serious title. And the last thing I now need to worry about for the next Halloween film, if we're going to get a scene where someone is stoned out of their mind. It's bad enough the Friday the 13th reboot is most known for Derek Mears' performance in Jason smoking the weed. That's how I remember the Friday the 13th remake. I do not want to remember Halloween Kills with some stoner scene in which then I would have to title this film Halloween Kills. Man, there is like, it doesn't feel like a serious horror film when you title a film Halloween Kills. It feels like some teenager titled this film, as that title feels like a slang, not a movie title. There is no creativity. And then they come back with Halloween 3 being Halloween End. What? Halloween End? You're telling us this is the last Halloween film? Because I quite frankly don't see it, if these two films do very well. But why would you use the word end? Because every time someone uses the word end or final in a horror franchise, it's never the end, because somehow you will get another sequel in a franchise. So this is just pure dumb on the filmmakers to title the third Halloween film Halloween End. And when are they supposed to come out? Well, they're not going to come out back to back, which is probably a good idea, considering the two titles are just so ridiculous. Halloween Kills will be coming out next year, while Halloween End will be coming out in 2021. But still, these titles suck. And it kills, man. And oh, by the way, David Gordon Green is returning to direct both of these films. And Danny McBride is also returning to co-write these films alongside David Gordon Green. Staying on Halloween Kills, BloodyDisgusting.com recently reported another big rumor for the film, and that is that there's a possibility that they may be bringing back another character from the original Halloween film for Halloween Kills. No, it's not Dr. Loomis. It's Tommy Doyle. Now, before everyone gets their hopes that Paul Rudd is returning to the series, he is not returning to the series because he's currently working on the new Ghostbusters movie for Jason Reitman. So, you won't be seeing Paul Rudd in the next Halloween film. But this is a very good development, because at least we're going to see another character from the original film in Halloween Kills. And I really think it adds more to this sequel, even though the title for the sequel sucks. And I'm going to continue to say that, because this is one of the worst titles I've ever heard of. But bringing Tommy Doyle back to the series will make fans of the original even more interested in the upcoming sequels. And that's a good thing. I don't know how he's going to play into all of this, but it's something to watch. But it's only a rumor, everyone. So it may be killed by the time this show airs, and it could be just all for naught. But I'm really hoping it's true, because at least they'll get over the fact that Halloween Kills sucks as a title. Now let's move on to Saw 9. And the major news about Saw 9 is the film will not be released in October. I guess Lionsgate was scared of the new Halloween film, or the rumors of two Halloween films next year, to move Saw 9 from the original October date to the month of May. Because I don't think anybody's going to compete with the new Halloween film next year during Halloween season. Seriously. You might as well just give the whole month of October to Halloween, because that's pretty much the only horror film people are going to go see if they're a horror fan. So by putting Saw 9 in October, it wouldn't be good. But they've managed to come up with a new date. It was originally supposed to come out October 16th, 2020. It's been moved to May 15th, 2020. That means the film went up 5 months instead of going down to October 2020, which might not be a good thing, as it's now positioned in the beginning of the summer box office season, because May 1st, Black Widow comes out. That's probably going to be the number one film for at least 2, maybe 3 weeks. Then May 8th, you're looking at possibly No Problems, as there's only 2 films right now slated, including Legally Blonde 3, which I don't think will be a big hit because there hasn't been a sequel to that film in, what, over 10 years. Then you got May 15th, as that will be opening up against the Scooby-Doo animated film. I don't know if that is a good idea. It could depend on what Black Widow does in its first 2 weeks, but I don't know if I would position Saw 9 on May 15th, because if they somehow do 20 million, then it would be a success. But I don't know if they could do 20 million with Black Widow out there, with Legally Blonde 3, which may or may not be a hit, because the first 2 films are popular, and you got the Scooby-Doo animated film actually debuting the same day as Saw 9. Then 1 week later, you have Fast and Furious 9 and the SpongeBob movie coming out with its second film. I don't know what Lionsgate is doing here. Seriously. I think this would have been better off if this film was pushed maybe, say, April or even March. Because I really don't see how this film will succeed when you got a Marvel film out the first week of May. You know, those films usually take 3 or 4 weeks before business starts to die down. Then you got a Scooby-Doo animated film, which will probably be doing good at the box office because it's Scooby-Doo. And next week after that, you have Fast and Furious 9, which is a mega franchise. So I don't know what Lionsgate is doing here. Maybe they're trying the old counter-programming strategy. At least they're not doing a gimmick like the way that Orion Pictures did when they released the Child's Play reboot the same weekend as Toy Story 4. And I can tell you that the Child's Play remake hasn't even hit 30 million yet. And it's only made 28.8 million at the time I'm recording this. So it probably has made about a little over 30 million. But still, that's not something to write home about, considering it made maybe a little bit of profit. But I don't know how much they're putting into the new Saw 9 film. It could be 20 million, which would be probably what I would think they would be doing here. But you get Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson. I think Lionsgate is hoping that those two names will bring in people. But I don't know about putting Saw 9 right at the beginning of the summer box office season, because horror films tend to get lost during the summer, as it's usually about the big action films. And finally, for news on this edition, I'm going to talk about what happened at San Diego Comic-Con. As there were some really big horror announcements, as there were 2 properties that I've never talked about on the show, because A, I don't like to talk about television shows that much here on Anthony T's Horror Shows. I want to focus more on the films and the independent artists and filmmakers. And B, Marvel Films has never fit the criteria to be discussed here on the show. But there were some really big news from San Diego Comic-Con. I'm not sure where to start. Should I start with the news that has me all geeked out for? Or should I start with the news that was kind of shocking? You know what? I'm going to start with the news that I'm so geeked for. Because, well, I'm a big Marvel fan. I know Marvel hasn't done much horror, so I haven't been able to talk about Marvel films here on Anthony T's Horror Show. But I am a huge fan of Iron Man, Captain America, The Avengers. So when Marvel had their spectacular rollout of Phase 4, as they usually set their film programs in phases, why I don't know, but they always seem to play the long game in storytelling, so that's why they divide everything into phases. They announced that They will be making their first horror film. That's right. Director Scott Dickerson will be directing Marvel's first horror film, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. This is a film that I'm going to be so excited for. The first Doctor Strange film was very good, but it tended to lean towards more on the fantasy side of things instead of the horror side. But I'm very happy that Marvel is now focusing on the horror aspects of the character, as I really think this is going to be a kick-ass film, as all the Marvel films haven't disappointed me yet. So I'm very excited for this. Benedict Cumberbatch will be back as Doctor Strange. He will be joined by Elizabeth Olsen, who plays Scarlet Witch in the Marvel films. And if it wasn't coincidence enough, Scarlet Witch will have her own Disney Plus series, WandaVision, right before Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Talk about coincidence. As probably whatever happens on WandaVision is probably going to lead right directly into Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I cannot wait for this film. So even though WandaVision doesn't look like it's going to be a horror series, I wouldn't be surprised if the events of WandaVision end up bleeding into Doctor Strange in the Multiverse A Madness. WandaVision hits Disney Plus Spring 2021, and Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness hits theaters May 7th, 2021. And if that wasn't news enough, at the end of Marvel's presentation at San Diego Comic-Con, two-time Academy Award winner Mahershala Ali came up on stage when everyone was wearing their Phase 4 caps, coming on stage with a cap, then revealing the cap to show Blade. That's right, Marvel will be making Blade. My guess is that will be a Phase 5 film, so probably sometime in 2022-2023 we will get Blade, done by Marvel Films. That is a major news story. And the fact that Mahershala Ali came out like he was the number one draft pick in any pro sports to unveil the Blade cap was something that put the exclamation point on a great presentation that also featured some very big Marvel news, including a major return to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which I won't discuss since it's not horror related. So, you know what it is. If not, just search Marvel Phase 4. You will find out that major actress returning to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. With that, that's all the Marvel I'm talking about this episode. Because I could probably spend an episode talking all Marvel. Seriously. That's why Marvel is the best whenever they have a presentation at San Diego Comic-Con. The other big news item coming out of San Diego Comic-Con is, that I have not talked about on this show, is The Walking Dead. Now, I don't talk about The Walking Dead on the show because, quite frankly, I've pretty much given up on the television series. It's just that it got really boring to the point where I just lost complete interest in it. But when I heard this news out of San Diego Comic-Con, this was definitely newsworthy to talk about, as Rick Grimes will be back, but only this time on the big screen, as this is a major development here, because originally the Walking Dead films were slated to be just on AMC, but the fact that The Walking Dead is finally coming to the big screen is major news. And quite frankly, I'd be interested in seeing a Walking Dead film on the big screen, as Rick Grimes will be back, so I have no problem watching it. The studio that's going to put out the Walking Dead film is Universal Pictures. Yes, the studio that is home to one Jason Blum. And for once, Jason Blum's name is not attached to a Universal Studios horror film. Now, this I really liked a lot, because originally this was just going to be just TV movies. And yeah, the tone probably would have been the same as what the TV series has been recently that pretty much got me disinterested in the show. But the fact that The Walking Dead is coming to theaters now opens up a lot of possibilities. I'm hoping it was a renewed interest back into the series for me, because this is the first time that you're getting to see The Walking Dead on the big screen. And I'm very interested to see how The Walking Dead is going to fare on the big screen compared to television. I hope this film is a hard R, as it will amp up the violence and it have more zombies. Because one of the main problems with The Walking Dead was it felt like it was just zombies being there just to move along the show, not doing much. As it focuses more on the human characters than zombie action, I really hope this Walking Dead film has more zombie action and have zombies be more violent than what they feel like in the TV show. Because that would, I think, give the shot in the arm that The Walking Dead needs for it to succeed theatrically. I really cannot wait for this film to come out, as this is going to be interesting to see Rick Grimes on the big screen. I'm hoping it's more darker. I'm hoping it's more bloodier, as I really think the sky's the limit when The Walking Dead comes to the big screen. I hope this does not get dumbed down for a PG-13 rating. It's just going to feel like I'm watching the show in a theater, and that's not what I want now. If you're going to put The Walking Dead on the big screen, it has to be a hard R. Nothing less than a hard R, and you're pretty much doing the TV show on the big screen. And with that, that is the news. When I come back, I'll talk about my time over in Williamsburg, Virginia at the recent Scares That Care Weekend 6. Also, later in the show, talk about the first wave announcements for Rock and Shock that's going to be taking place October 11th through 13th in Worcester, Massachusetts. But first, you can help Scares That Cares get a sponsorship from Shudder, as they are offering a 30-day free trial. You can type in the code SCARES at Shudder.com, and credit card is required. Please use that code, as it will help out Scares That Care get a sponsor. And also, you can donate to Scares That Care at scaresthatcare.org. Every day, there's a family struggling with hospital bills to care for their sick child who is fighting an illness. There's a woman who is fighting breast cancer and is having trouble making ends meet while paying for their treatment. And there are burn victims that are going through treatments to heal their deep wounds. There is a charity in the horror community that helps these people. Scares That Care is an organization that helps families deal with the bills for their child. They help women get the treatment they need to fight breast cancer, and they help people who are dealing with severe burns get the help they need to heal. Scares That Care is a 100% volunteer organization and 501c3 nonprofit charity that is dedicated to helping these people in fighting real monsters. To find out more information or to donate to Scares That Care, you can go to www.scaresthatcare.org. Every donation helps Scares That Care fight real monsters. Besides Anthony T's horror show, you can also listen to these other fine podcasts on the Doc Discussions Network. Doc Discussions, hosted by Philip Perrone and Michael Darwin. You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, a Game of Thrones podcast. Bullets, Brothels, and Bots, a Westworld podcast. Halloween Boutique, Psychotronic Reviews. And Searching for American Gods. You can find Doc Discussions on the web at www.docdiscussions.com. And Doc Discussions is also available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify.
Hey guys, this is Steve and Christina. I'm the founder, owner, creator, and host of Super Retro Throwback Reviews. Are you looking for the best movie reviews, music reviews, video game reviews, and Comic-Con coverage all around? Well, then look no further. Definitely check out Super Retro Throwback Reviews on YouTube and our new audio podcast, the new and improved Super Retro Throwback Reviews Audio Files version 2.0 on the following media distributors: Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify.
Class is over, John! Time for something new and improved!
Welcome back. Now, this is the point of the show where you expect me to have someone on the show to either talk about an upcoming event or an interview. But this episode is going to be a little different because there is no interview, there's no guest. It's just me for the duration because, well, I have a lot of stuff to get to. I still have to talk about Rockin' Chalk coming up. I still have the film recommendation coming up. So, for this episode, it's just going to be me talking. And I'm going to talk about my recent trip to Williamsburg, Virginia for Scares That Cares Weekend 6, which was held at the Doubletree Hotel over in Williamsburg, Virginia. I have to say, I really had a really great time over there. Now, I left Rhode Island Thursday morning for a long and agonizing 13-hour ride. I say agonizing because, well, once the trip got to New York City, it came to a screeching halt, literally. Trying to go over the George Washington Bridge with Philip from Doc Discussions, and that really felt like escape from New York, because I literally wanted to escape from New York, because New York traffic is really the worst ever. New Jersey comes a close second. But once we got through there, everything was fine. The only traffic I think we encountered was typical rush hour traffic, but New York traffic is literally the worst. Especially the George Washington Bridge, as I really felt like I was in escape from New York. Then, after a couple of pit stops, I finally arrived at the Doubletree after midnight, checking in, going to the hotel room, going to bed. Then I get up the next day, hung around the hotel pretty much for most of the day, because I have to admit, the Doubletree Hotel that I stayed in was great. The prices there are very reasonable. I go to hotels where I see soda bottles selling for like $3.50, $4, which is ridiculous. But when I went there, it was only $2, pretty much what you would pay at a convenience store. So that was good, that I really did not have to kill my wallet or go anywhere else to get drinks, because really, one of the things when you do at a con is you have to watch what you're spending on food, because sometimes at hotels they'll tend to overcharge everything. So this hotel doesn't, because literally I spent almost about $30 on breakfast, dinner, and lunch there, which is pretty much the price for the prime rib buffet at the hotel restaurant. So if I'm spending that amount of money when the prime rib buffet is pretty much the same price, you know you're getting a good deal. And definitely if you're in the Williamsburg area, I would definitely recommend you stay at that hotel, because that's what I like. Reasonable prices for drinks and reasonable prices to eat. I also got to hang out and talk to some of the people also attending the convention, which is good, because one of the things I like when going to a convention where it's taking place at the hotel where you're staying is you get to talk to different people. I had a really good time doing that. It was very nice meeting a lot of people over the weekend as I managed to make new friends. Then the convention starts. Yours truly goes right in, goes into the autograph room. Got some really good autographs at this convention. It was really nice meeting people like John Anderson, who is in Stranger Things, and some of the Marvel films that I love, as he was a very fun dude to talk with, a very cool person overall. Probably one of my favorite interactions of the weekend as well. Another favorite of my interactions was actress Sarah Butler. You may know her from I Spit on Your Grave, the remake, and I Spit on Your Grave 3. She was a very fun person to meet. We chatted a little bit. It was a really fun time meeting her. She's such a sweetheart. Then I finally got to meet the one, the only, Joe Bob Briggs. He's very cool guy. Also met his assistant Dossie the mail girl there. Both very nice people. As I picked up a shirt, which I'll show you when I film the Scares That Cures video edition of Anthony T's Horror Collection on YouTube. But that was fun to meet them. Also got to meet Sid Haig. He's always a nice person to meet, as I definitely had to get that mugshot of him for the upcoming Three from Hell, since I earlier picked up Bill Moseley's mugshot from Three from Hell. I'm kind of collecting mugshots from Three from Hell, so maybe a little order in for Richard Brake. Haven't decided on that yet, because I saw somewhere that somebody that does autographs is going to be at a con where Richard Brake is, so I'm seriously thinking of getting that one as well. Since I love Rob Zombie's The Devil's Rejects, I can't really wait for Three from Hell to come out. Then after that, went to the vendor's room, met the people over at Slasher 15 Media. Very nice people. Can't wait to check both of those films out, because who knows, they may end up on my show in the future. Also stopped by the Vinegar Syndrome booth, as is always mandatory. Every time Vinegar Syndrome is at a convention that I go to, I stop there. So I managed to pick up some good films, including one of their latest releases, Hellmaster. I'll talk more about that in the next edition of Anthony T's Horror Collection over on Anthony T's Horror Show on YouTube. I also got to meet the show's organizer as well, Joe Ripple, who I'll talk more about towards the end of this segment. Then it was time for the main event of the evening. It is, yes, Joe Bob Briggs, How Rednecks Saved Hollywood. I would definitely recommend this show for any film fan, horror or non-horror, as this was a great two-hour show. Joe Bob Briggs does a really good job making the material interesting. He also really was in a groove, like on The Last Drive-In, which also really made this show very fun to be at. Easily, this is, I think, one of my favorite convention moments ever. I had a very great time being at Joe Bob Briggs' show, as How Redneck Saved Hollywood is really an awesome show that people should go out of their way to check out. Now, everybody here in the New England area, well, Joe Bob Briggs is coming to New England. In fact, Providence, Rhode Island, to be exact. Yes, the great state of Rhode Island. As he will be at the Columbus Theater, November 22nd, 8 p.m. I'll have a link to it on both the Doc Discussions podcast group and Anthony T's Horror Show's Facebook a day or two after the show is released. Plus, I'll also have it in the comment section on Facebook as well to remind you people to show up to the Columbus Theater on November 22nd for Joe Bob Briggs' How Redneck Save Hollywood. It's a great show. Trust me on this. You'll have a great time, as it's Joe Bob Briggs being Joe Bob Briggs. After that, I went to the We Belong Dead podcast, as that was a fun time, as they podcast both nights that I was there at Scares That Cures. Then Saturday rolls along, get up and head to the convention again, looking at some of the nice items they had for auction over at the silent auction. Then 10 o'clock comes around, went in the vendor's room, met some very nice people, including Father Evil, took a picture, obviously. That was a very fun time meeting him. Also met model Jenna Mason. She has some really good artwork and photos that people should pick up whenever she's vending at a horror con. And I also got to meet the lovely ladies over at Gorgeous. It was a very fun time meeting them. Very nice people. Picked up a couple of their prints as well. Also went up to the second floor, checked out some of the vendors that I missed the first day because I only thought there was one vendor room on the second floor. It turned out to be about five or six mini rooms. When I'm saying rooms, I'm talking like little rooms of vendors. So there were like around, I think around six of them, including a display of props in which the Horror and Sci-Fi Prop Preservation Association had over at Scares That Cares. Had some really good props from It, the 2007 version. It had a Snakes on a Plane prop, too. It had Scream Queens, the television show, and more. It was a very good exhibit. Also, they had a film, too, called It's Just a Game, which I also picked up, because obviously I pick up films at conventions from indie filmmakers, so I picked this up. We'll check this film out eventually soon, so I may talk about it more on Anthony T's Horror Collection video that I'll be doing soon for the YouTube channel. Then I went to the film festival to check out Theater of Terror. This is a very good film. Even though I walked in kind of like maybe, I would like to say maybe 15 minutes into the film, 15, 20 minutes into the film. It's more of a horror anthology film, but it's very good. I would definitely recommend you check this film out, as keep an eye on the YouTube channel, as most likely it's already been posted on my YouTube channel. I filmed a Q&A with the producer and one of the actresses from the film, so check that out, because definitely Theater of Terror is a very good film. And speaking of the film festival, I also checked out another film on Friday, which I forgot to mention, a short film called Boo, a film that I've heard a lot of very good things about. I'll tell you, that was a great short. That's another film you should definitely check out if you're into film festivals, as it's playing on the film festival circuit as well. I also did a couple of photo ops while I was at the convention. I did the last drive-in photo op with Joe Bob Briggs and Dossie, the male girl. That was a very good one. And I also did a photo op of Sid Haig dressed up as Captain Spaulding, which I really think came out very good. I really loved the way the makeup came on as well. You can see both of those pictures over on Anthony T's Horror Show's Instagram page. After that, I got to meet Wilford Brimley. A lot of people, you might know him from John Carpenter's The Thing, but I tend to know him more for his work as a character actor, as he's one of the legendary character actors in Hollywood. He's been in some big films such as The Natural, The Firm, Cocoon. So it was a real honor to meet him. It was a very nice time meeting him. He even called me Cowboy, which is kind of cool. That is something I'll remember, as he was a very cool person to meet. And that was pretty much it. I won a couple of items in the silent auction, which you will never know about because I'm not going to gloat. I'm not going to use my YouTube channel to gloat, so you're never going to know what I brought unless you were at the con. Only a certain number of people know what I won at the silent auction, so. And it's going to stay that way because I'm not going to be the one that gloats. But it's a couple of cool things, trust me. After that, waited till about 8 o'clock, hung around the hotel, had dinner, then went to the costume contest, which was fun and very different from other costume contests, because other conventions I go to, costume contests are like so boring that I very rarely go to them. But I have to admit, Joe Ripple and the crew at Scares That Cares did a great job with that contest. Then, the promoter of the convention comes out, dressed up, with a bra, and his backside with a picture of a llama. That was so hilarious. I literally was laughing. Even talking about it makes me laugh about it. I'm sorry. But it all was done for a great cause. It also raised more money for the charity, which is always a good thing. And after that, there was more debauchery at midnight, as We Belong Dead did in a live podcast. That was a fun time. It was nice also hanging out for an extra 15 minutes afterwards at the end of the podcast as well. And that's about it for the convention, as I left Sunday with Philip. as we headed back to New England. Overall, I had a very great time with this convention. I really think Joe Ripple has something special here, as I had a great time over at Scares at Cares 6. I would say it's probably one of the best conventions I've ever been to, and that's saying a lot because I go to a lot of Rock and Shocks, a lot of Rhode Island Comic Cons, Terror Cons, Scare Con New England's. But this is definitely one of the most organized conventions I've ever been to. I would go back to this convention again next year if the opportunity arises, because I had a great time. It was worth the 13-hour ride to Williamsburg. And it really takes a lot of effort to put one of these conventions on, and this is truly a great convention that horror fans should be supporting, whether you're in the Virginia area or one of those people who travels to horror cons. You definitely have to come to Scares That Cares weekend every time they run, because you will have an awesome time guaranteed. And it's a credit to Joe Ripple's dedication to both the convention and the charity that he runs that makes this event special, and it's something that I really hope continues on for years to come. Also, you can help Scares That Cares online. For more information, you can go to www.scaresthatcare.org. And also, you can sign up for a free month of Shudder by using the code SCARES. Make sure you also use your credit card when signing up, but by using the code SCARES, you will be helping Scares That Care and the convention as well. So please sign up for a free 30-day trial of Shudder and go to www.scaresthatcare.org for more information. Have a podcast that you want to promote? Well, if you're interested in swapping commercials, you can promote your show here on Anthony T's Horror Show, and in return, I will promote your commercial on my show as well. For more information, contact me at anthonytshorrorshow@gmail.com.
Want to learn more about horror directors? With a lighthearted look at three of their movies? Meet fearless podcaster Gore Blimey.
I've been unsettled by bats in the past and startled by parrots, and I've even been known to jump at the odd cockatoo.
Discover horror films that are classics, and others, too.
There's a topless aerobics massacre, an exploding rock singer, cannibals, nude martial arts, a deep-fried prostitute.
But it's not all silliness. You'll get proper movie breakdowns, opinion, and background information, too.
Yep, in the 80s and 90s, Jeff Stryker was huge in gay porn. In every sense.
So if you're a horror film fan, come and check out the Trilogy of Terror podcast at strangeanddeadly.com. Or find it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or on your podcatcher.
One of those people that has a certain charisma and a certain style, and I'm just hoping one day he'll rub off on me.
The Trilogy of Terror podcast, where we try three times harder to give you the willies.
Welcome back. Now, in my Scares at Cares recap, I forgot to mention a couple other very good companies that I met during Scares That Cares Weekend 6. I want to first off say that I really liked visiting the Atomic Cotton booth, as they had some really nice t-shirts there. I picked up an American Mary t-shirt, a Kraft t-shirt, and I also got my Free the Saska Sisters t-shirt, even though the whole thing with Twitter is over. But still, it was very nice meeting those people, the sweet people. Definitely support Atomic Cotton when you can. And the other group of people that I forgot to mention in the Scares That Cares recap was Indulge Images. I think they really did a great job with the photo ops that I did. Now, you can see my photo ops with Joe Bob Briggs and Dossie and the Captain Spaulding photo op over on Anthony T's Horror Show on Facebook and Instagram at Anthony T's Horror Show. But I really loved these prints. I like how they tailor make the pictures to the convention that you're going to, as it makes you not forget where you took the picture. As I think it's really kind of cool to include the convention logo on the left-hand side. It really makes the photo op even more special because you know when you took the photo op and the exact kind of where you took it at. I wish more conventions did that. It would make the image more special. As I have to say, for a small company like Indulge Images, they do a really great job with the way they handle their photo ops, and they make them special compared to other conventions where you take the picture on a generic background, then 5 minutes later get it printed out for you. I wish all other conventions took the time, put their convention logo on the picture, because I was impressed because it felt special. And the ladies over at Indulge Images did a really good job with the way they set up everything and the way that the photo came out, as it feels like a special moment and not some rushed job like other cons do. Now, enough with Scares That Cares. Let's look forward to another convention that yours truly is looking forward to so much, and that's in October. And yes, you can guess, Rock and Shock. Now, Rock and Shock last year wasn't one of the best years. Yeah, I had a very good time, but if I had one complaint, there was not much to do because you only had a panel room and that's it. There was like only one photo op there. But this year, I have to say, the people at Rock and Shock have stepped up their game big time. And this goes all the way back to March when they announced Bruce Campbell coming to Rock and Shock. Since then, they've announced 2 nights of their music festival and a very big lineup, because there are a lot of first-time guests this year at Rock and Shock, which makes me happy because, well, I don't want to see the same people year in, year out. Then it becomes a boring convention. Then you're just hanging out at a convention because you want to visit friends. And yeah, visiting friends is part of the convention experience, but also meeting new celebrities that haven't been at the con is also another reason why you go to conventions. And this year, Rock and Shock has an awesome lineup, as there are a lot of first-time guests at Rock and Shock this year. First off, you have the Twin Peaks reunion. You have Cheryl Lee, Sharon Finn, and Ray Wise announced. All of them have never been to Rock and Shock. So I'm very happy that there are, first of all, more Twin Peaks guests, because yours truly loves Twin Peaks a lot. We'll definitely be visiting by their tables, so I'm very excited for that. Now, they've also announced the ladies from the original Evil Dead film that will be coming to Rock and Shock. Since you got Bruce Campbell there, you need some more Evil Dead guests. They are bringing the women from the Evil Dead. This will be their first time at Rock and Shock as well, as Betsy Baker, Ellen Sandweiss, and Teresa Tilly will be at this year's Rock and Shock. I love the fact that there's a lot of first-time guests at the convention, as you also got Felicia Rose coming. You have Catherine Kamhi, both from Sleepaway Camp, coming. Both of them first-time guests. They're also bringing Kenny Johnson from Bates Motel, who's also a first-time guest. They're also bringing Kane Hodder. Well, Kane Hodder always seems to come at every Rock and Shock. And Adrian King from the first two Friday the 13th films. I really cannot wait for this convention. Rock and Shock is really pulling all the stops this year. I'm really happy that they are, because this is the premier New England horror convention, and this is probably the most excited I've been for a Rock and Shock so far. There's more guests to be announced. I'll preview Rock and Shock before the actual convention happens, so I cannot wait to be at the DCU Center in Worcester from October 11th through the 13th, as this lineup this year so far is just great. I love the fact that they're really going all out, as I like it when conventions tend to go all out. It really makes me more excited for a convention, especially when you're bringing guests in for the first time. Rock and Shock is looking like the can't miss New England convention of the year, and that will be taking place October 11th through the 13th, as I really cannot wait to be in Worcester, Massachusetts that weekend. Every day, there's a family struggling with hospital bills to care for their sick child, who is fighting an illness. There's a woman who is fighting breast cancer and is having trouble making ends meet while paying for their treatment. And there are burn victims that are going through treatments to heal their deep wounds. There is a charity in the horror community that helps these people. Scares That Care is an organization that helps families deal with the bills for their child. They help women get the treatment they need to fight breast cancer, and they help people who are dealing with severe burns get the help they need to heal. Scares That Care is a 100% volunteer organization and 501c3 nonprofit charity that is dedicated to helping these people in fighting real monsters. To find out more information or to donate to Scares That Care, you can go to www.scaresthatcare.org. Every donation helps Scares That Care fight real monsters. You can find Anthony T's Horror Show on social media on these platforms. Facebook at facebook.com/AnthonyT's Horror Show. Twitter at www.twitter.com/AnthonyT's Horror. On Instagram at www.instagram.com/AnthonyT's Horror Show. On YouTube at www.youtube.com/AnthonyThurber. And you can find Anthony T's Horror Show on the web as well at anthonytshorrorshow.blogspot.com. And you can also find Doc Discussions at www.docdiscussions.com. For my film recommendation this episode, I purposely left out the archive during my recap of my trip to Williamsburg, Virginia for Scares That Cares, because I wanted to talk about this place in a separate segment. It was pretty much the first thing that me and Philip hit before getting on the awful New York traffic, which I'm done explaining, because how many times can you say escape from New York in one episode? Before we got to New York, we visited a very nice place called the Archive. Now, for those who don't know what the Archive is, it's Vinegar Syndrome's experimental store. Let me tell you, this place is amazing. This place is something of a horror lover's dream, because it has a lot of these obscure films for reasonable prices. Plus, it looks like they had a second floor screening room as well, which I wished was here in Rhode Island, seriously. Because that would probably be my second home, seriously. Because you probably would probably find me there when I'm not doing the podcast. And I'm sorry if I said probably a couple times, but it is really true. So that place is great. If you're in the Connecticut area, I really highly recommend you stop by and visit the store. It has a unique setup. It has films from Arrow Video, Mondo Macabro, Synapse, Vinegar Syndrome, of course, Scream Factory. It has it all. It is pretty much a horror lover's dream. They also sell records. They also sell t-shirts. This is definitely a place you should check out if you're in the Bridgeport, Connecticut area. But now for my film recommendation, a film that I picked up at the Archive is a film that was recently released by Arrow Video, and it's called Alice Sweet Alice. Now, this film was a film that I've been interested in seeing for a while because, well, it's one of the earlier films from Brooke Shields, and the fact that it's had a very creepy poster with seeing what all the fuss is about this film. I have to say, I really enjoyed this film a lot. A lot of the credit has to go to director Alfred Soul in the film. He does a very good job creating an atmosphere that's very dark and sinister-like. He also does a very good job in making sure the kill scenes have a very impactful reaction, as this film has a couple of really good kill scenes, which cannot be missed. It is really a very entertaining film. It has very good performances from Linda Miller, Mildred Clinton, and Paula Shepherd. Alice, Sweet Alice is a very sinister slasher film, more in the vein of films like The Prowler, Black Christmas, and Tenebrae. Alice, Sweet Alice is a film that will leave you in shock after the film ends, as the film's ending is very truly shocking and frightening. Some quick facts about Alice, Sweet Alice. The film's director, Alfred Sohl, never really made it big as a director, but he turned to production designer, and he has made it big there, as he's responsible for the production design for such TV shows as Veronica Mars, Castle, and most recently MacGyver. The film's title, Alice, Sweet Alice, also is known under a couple of different other titles as well, Communion and Holy Terror. The film is also the first major theatrical film that Brooke Shields done. Before Alice, Sweet Alice, she did a couple of TV movies, but this film is her first theatrical film. And Alice herself, Paula Shepherd, only appeared in one other film besides Alice, Sweet Alice. That is the 1982 cult sci-fi film Liquid Sky, which she played Adrian, a drug dealer. Liquid Sky is currently available through Vinegar Syndrome. And that's all the facts I have for Alice, Sweet Alice. I definitely highly recommend Alice, Sweet Alice, as this film is a very underrated slasher that came out in 1976, 2 years before John Carpenter's Halloween. But this film remains to be one of the hidden gems of that era. Definitely check out Alice, Sweet Alice, as this is a very good film, and it's also my film recommendation this episode. On Anthony T's Horror Show on YouTube, I recently posted up a couple of new videos. I posted an edition of Anthony T's Horror Collection, where I go through some of the films that I recently purchased. Plus, I tell you pretty much my favorite film of 2019 so far. I also show off a couple of action figures from two of my favorite horror franchises from the 80s and 90s. And I also have a Q&A of a film called Theater of Terror. It's a horror anthology film that I saw at Scares That Care Weekend 6. I managed to also film the panel that took place after the screening. Definitely check this film out, as it's available on DVD and Blu-ray at theaterofterror.net. I've already picked up a copy of this film because I really enjoyed what I saw at the screening, so it definitely gets my recommendation too. So theaterofterror.net, pick that film up. You will get a Q&A on the channel with producer Todd Struch and actress Sienna Rizza. The panel is moderated by the Horror Syndicate's Mike Lombardo, who also is director of I'm Dreaming of a White Doomsday, which everyone should also check out. With that, that's it for this edition of Anthony T's Horror Show, as we've made it to 26 episodes, aka 8 years worth of episodes, because this is a bi-weekly show, meaning I do at least 26 episodes per year. I hope you enjoyed the first year of Anthony T's Horror Show, and can't wait to make season 2 better and better than ever. With that, have a good day and support indie horror.